Hey, what is up, everybody? This is Rob Rivera.
And this is Rob Rucha.
And you're listening to the Robcast Podcast.
Hi.
Hello. We are back. This is episode what?
This is episode number 6.
Episode 6 of season 4?
Season 4, episode 6.
And we have, who do we have on today?
We got Rashid sitting next to us.
Yeah,
Say hi, Rashid.
What up?
Hey, we have Rashid in the house. We will be talking with Alter Bridge, Tremonti, and Cree guitar player.
Mark Tremonti.
And been wanting to have him on the show for a little while. And I'm sure we're going to have a great conversation.
Well, you guys toured with him.
Yeah, with Alter Bridge.
You know, one of the ways that you became closer friends with him from when you had first met him. I know we'll get into that when you talk to him because you've told me that story.
Yeah.
And, you know, to have seen them on the tour with you guys after that was right after the Florida recording.
Yeah.
That you, after the 20th anniversary stuff, we all drove up. I was riding with you guys back up to Michigan and that was the first show with Alter
Chicago.
Bridge.
Yeah.
Then you came here, did your acoustic thing, went to the Riv and continued on your tour.
That was a long day.
That was a long week. That was like
I remember we did the acoustic here. We took a picture and we had to run over to do sound check.
Yeah. And your crew was already doing shit at the Riv.
And luckily, we were right. I mean, we couldn't have asked for a better situation being right next to the Riv.
Block away.
That was awesome.
So that helped.
Yeah, let's give Mr. Tremonti a call.
Hello?
Mark.
What's happening?
How you doing, buddy? Rob here.
Good. How are you?
Considering the situation, I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
Yeah. I have my co-host here, other Rob.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Trying to find a quiet spot.
Okay.
Yeah. What's happening?
Not much. I'm just going to get right into it. I know, obviously, the same question I've asked. How was your 2020, despite the situation? Were you able to keep busy? What was in your world during 2020?
Some great things, some horrible things, kind of just a mix.
Yeah.
You know, just trying to stay busy. I moved houses, so a lot of downtime fixing up my house, painted my entire house, and
Are you still in Orlando?
Recording an album, trying to record.
Are you still in Orlando?
Yeah, I'm actually in the same neighborhood.
Oh, okay. Cool.
But I'm recording an album now, and I'm going to record another album and staying busy.
Are you currently doing what are you doing, Alter Bridge or Tremonti?
Right now I'm doing Tremonti.
Okay. Oh, that's right. You said you were singing, so I'm assuming, that was Tremonti.
Yeah.
Awesome. So you've been recording the whole year pretty much?
I've been writing for, I'm always writing, but I've been putting together an album for the last 6 months and just recording it now. And then I'm going to do another record that's kind of under wraps, kind of a surprise record coming out hopefully sometime this year. But it's going to be a whole different kind of animal.
Okay.
And then, just staying busy, man. Just... kids are still doing sports, so I'm doing a lot of that. My wife's pregnant. I got a baby on the way March 9th.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
This is number what, three? Is this number three for you?
Number three.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
So now that we're talking about, you've been in three different band situations that I'm aware of, obviously with Creed, Alter Bridge, and Tremonti. How are you able to separate all that when it comes to writing music? I know Tremonti's more like your heavier project, right?
Yeah.
So how are you able to separate the writing for each? Because that's three different animals right there.
Yeah, I try to, sometimes the lines gets blurred. I try to write whatever's best for whatever current project I'm working on, but definitely the solo stuff leans to the speed metal side of things. And Alter Bridge kind of leans more towards the long 8 minute epic kind of tunes. Cause I know Miles can just kill it on the vocals on those types of songs.
Yeah.
I've got so many different, things I'm trying to feed on the inside creatively. I like, you know, I definitely like my, my Slayer type of stuff, but I also like my Journeys type of stuff. So I like to kind of feed all those, you know, all those passions I have for writing.
That's awesome. Now, and for Tremonti, do you still have your same lineup? You still got Ryan playing drums?
Yeah, Ryan's playing drums.
Awesome.
Tanner's playing bass. E-Rock's playing guitar and singing backup vocals.
So Ryan's a beast, man. Love him.
Yeah. So this will be the first record that's, that Ryan's tracked on for this band.
Yeah, you had Garrett pretty much on all your other ones, right?
Yep.
Okay. So speaking of speed metal and metal, I had an interesting, I remember something, how I met you. And I think we were playing a radio show in Iowa. I believe it was called Rockstock or something like that. You were with Alter Bridge. So, you know, I know, I don't think we'd ever met. Mm-hmm. I obviously knew who you were. You know, I didn't know. But I see you wearing a Merciful Fate shirt. And I'm like, he knows Merciful. He knows Merciful Fate. I mean, it totally took me by surprise, you know, because I am a massive Merciful Fate fan. I mean, I grew up listening to all that stuff.
Me too.
So is that like your first love? Like, is that like what you grew up listening to? Like the heavier things?
Yeah, well, I, you know, just like everybody else until about sixth grade, I was listening to whatever was big on the radio, like Beastie Boys and Jay Giles Band. I think the Jay Giles Band was the first record I ever bought.
Awesome.
And then all of a sudden, I had an older brother named Dan who, my brothers lived upstairs and he listened to the heaviest, darkest stuff he could find. So one night I couldn't sleep and I went upstairs and was like, hey, can I borrow that record with about the song about a sanitarium? And,
which was Metallica, so right?
So I grabbed Master of Puppets. And from that moment on, I was a metalhead. That record was, that's still my favorite record of all time. So
that is mine too. I always keep telling people it's the most perfect metal album ever recorded.
Oh yeah. It was like flipping a switch with me. I turned into a fanatic and, chased down. From that moment on, I chased everything down from, you know, Celtic Frost to Slayer to Venom to King Diamond, Merciful Fate, anything I get my hands on.
You're right up my alley, man. I grew up on thrash metal. I mean, I started obviously with my Rush and my Van Halen. And then when I heard Metallica, Kill 'Em All, and my whole life changed right there. I was living in Puerto Rico and I heard it on the radio. We had a radio show. They played the whole record front to back.
Yeah.
And I was completely hooked, but it definitely took me by surprise. And I definitely was like, okay, there's my end to go talk to him because I don't know many cats, you know, that really dig on Merciful Fate, you know, like, where, you know, my, like Melissa, like it's my top five album, you know, for me. Like
I have that LP, the picture disc.
I don't have that. I do have that on vinyl and Don't Break the Oath. You know, I think they're both probably two of the best. And do you try to experiment with Tremonti, like with those sounds?
You know, anything that I loved in the past kind of filters into what I'm doing. But, you know, that I think the Merciful Fate stuff is, if you played it for anybody and you took King Diamond's vocals off of it, they would think it was just any kind of 70s badass hard rock band. I mean, some of those riffs were just some of the greatest riffs ever. Merciful Fate, those guitar players came up with some of the greatest ideas, greatest moods. They set such great atmospheres for their songs. And, you know, it's hard to convince an older person to get into King Diamond because of the way he sings, but I think the guy's an absolute genius, His writing style, his melody choice. You know, if you took away the falsetto and just had him sing full voice all the time, I think more people would really get into it.
Yeah, I saw them live in Fort Lauderdale right after they reunited. I believe Hank Sherman and Michael Denner were both in the band. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah.
But I was so blown away because, you know, I got to hear all those songs, especially like Evil and Satan's Fall and all those great songs.
Yeah.
But they definitely sound very 70s. And a lot of people, I don't think, make that connection. And that's why I think a band like Ghost, like, I think they get a lot of inspiration from Merciful Fate, you know, like, and a lot.
Absolutely.
Which, you know, I can see them listening to Ghost because, you know, the dude's vocals is nothing like King Diamond's, but King Diamond, yeah, he set a mood, and there were things about him. I mean, nobody sings like that. That's the best part about King Diamond. As soon as you hear it, you know who it is.
And he absolutely kills it live. I mean, what you hear on the record, he replicates that perfectly.
Absolutely. I mean, I haven't seen him with a solo band, but I have seen him with Merciful Fate, you know. But I know I've seen a lot of video, and he does, like, his voice is exactly what it is. You know, it's like there's nothing, there's no tape running or none of that stuff. That is him.
Oh yeah, doing I just saw him right before COVID hit. He came through Orlando, and I just saw him recently again. And man, it was intense. It was.
Yeah, I think I saw you posting about that. That you went to the show. Yeah.
Oh yeah. You know, I had King Diamond's phone number at one point, I still have it in my phone. It's the coolest thing in the world. But we did that metal show together, and Eddie Trunk put us both on the show because he knew I was such a big fan of King Diamond's, and he had never had him on the show. And he gave me his phone number, and I gave of mine. I remember I was about to head out on a European tour, and the day before I get a phone call from King Diamond wishing me luck on the tour, and he remembered I was going out.
Wow.
And,
how cool is that?
Oh, it was insane. Oh yeah. And then when I went to go see him in town after the show, I got to hang out with Andy De La Roque and the girl that plays grandma in the live show.
Yeah. Oh, and Andy's a beast guitar player too.
Oh yeah.
Very underrated. You know, only a few. The one guy, Ollie, may he rest in peace from All That Remains. He told me that was his favorite guitar player.
Oh, he's a badass.
And I was so blown away to hear that, because you don't hear Andy's name mentioned with the greats, you know, which kind of sucks because he is a very creative guy.
Oh, he's just he's up there with any of those 80s players for sure. When King Diamond was coming out with all the Them record and whatnot, he was killing it. And I think he's underappreciated just because the band wasn't as big over here in the States as they were.
He wasn't in the Randy Rhoads or Eddie Van Halen conversations. You know, he was he wasn't even like in an Alex Skolnick conversation, you know, and I think King Diamond and Testament had a kind of like the same kind of success. You know, it kind of sucked that he didn't really get.
They had another guitar player playing with him along with Andy that blew my mind. I don't even know his name.
I think it might be Michael Weed.
Yes. I think that might
Michael
be
Weed. Him. Yeah. I think that's his name. I could be wrong.
Oh man. He was live. He was great.
Now King Diamond surrounded himself with like the best. He had lineup changes, but he always found like the best people. Super talented people. So moving forward, I mean, obviously, you know, COVID has taken us out of our comfort zone, you know, what we do. How do you see, in the future, how do you see things happening for us?
Man, I'm just crossing my fingers, hoping this vaccine comes out and it's legit and everybody can get it quickly. But I keep on hearing, oh, it's going to be out in January. Oh, it's going to be out in December. And it's just nowhere to be found. I think I know two people who have gotten the vaccine, and they're either a nurse or a doctor.
Yeah, I know a few people, and the essential workers, you know, the first, you know, have gotten it. I mean, I signed up for it, so I'm in group 1C. I hope I can get it, because I'd like to get back to doing what we do. But I think
you're going to have to, I think people are going to have to show some kind of proof that they've gotten the vaccine to get into a venue, and they're still going to get their temperatures taken, and the venues are still going to be half capacity until people stop dying from this. And it's going to be, you know, I think it's going to be into 22 before we have a chance of getting back to completely normal.
Yeah, that's what I keep thinking of 22, even though there's a lot of people talking that fall is going to be safe for us to go out there. I mean, hopefully that's the case, because
it's just not going to be normal by then. It's still going to be in the testing phase, I think.
Yeah, I can't fathom another year of not playing a show. You know, like last year was the first year that Nonpoint has never played a live show in our career.
It's just
so
insane. I was 13.
So how is the voice holding up for these sessions now? You got doing these Tremonti sessions. How's that voice holding up?
Good. You know, I've been just practicing a lot and singing a lot. Anytime I'm driving in a car, I'm keeping my voice up and practicing my parts and doing it. You know, I took, you know, every time I tried to take, I took two vocal lessons, but anytime I take vocal lessons, it kind of, it never pays off immediately. It's something where you do something for 6 years and all of a sudden it's going to be good for you. But, you know, to me, it's just singing is the only way to get better at it. But singing like you're on stage.
Okay. So listen, my co-host actually has a question for you. Go ahead.
So I run a recording studio here in Chicago in Nonpoint, and I've done a lot of recording here. But prior to that, years ago, I had a band in called Man the Mighty.
And oh, yeah.
Out of nowhere, years later, I look up Tim, and I see how heavily involved he is with both you and Alter Bridge and Tremonti. And I'm like, how the heck did that happen? So how did you initially connect with him, and how did he turn into what he is doing for you guys? Because I just knew him as a guy in a band from Chicago.
Yeah. Tim was, he was guitar player. He still is a guitar player, Man the Mighty. Yeah. But he got a job working for my brother at fret12.com. Fret 12 at first was a guitar instructional company, which turned into a guitar instructional, just a hub for guitar players. It became like a gear place, and then it became a record label.
Okay.
So my solo band started on that record label, and Tim was the day-to-day manager of it, and then he kind of, that's all he wanted to do, and so he pretty much stopped everything and became full-time manager of Alter Bridge and my solo band as well.
Wow. That's such a small world. Because then I was out on the road with Nonpoint for the tour that you guys were on, and I ran into Tim there and it was just baffled. I was like, how on earth did you end up doing all that? Being a guitar player, I mean, you're one of the top, you know, named guitar players in all the different, you know, like magazines and things. And so I was, you know, talking with him about that, and I was like, wow, man, I'm like really proud of him as far as breaking out from the city, because a lot of the bands that were trying at the time just went by the wayside, and to see him still playing is cool. And I think that he's also like gone out with you guys and done some things and actually played with Miles. And I'm like, this is amazing.
Yeah. He works very hard. So it's, you find those people with the passion that work their asses off seem to rise to the top, you know?
Yeah, I get it. I mean, that's why I relate to him too, is that's what I've been doing with Nonpoint for the last 5 years. And, you know, now we're taking this to a different level with them and actually setting up a whole drum set today while we got ready for the podcast and
nice.
Be doing some tracking ourselves. So
it's killer.
Really, yeah.
Well, it's the best time to do tracking. You can't tour, so you might as well keep creative.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Mark, I have a question, a guitar question. You have a certain PRS guitar that kind of looks like an Explorer.
Yeah.
Is that like just your model? Because I have never seen it anywhere else.
Yeah, no, I call that one. I've got two of them. One's called Stella and the other one's called the Abomination. And they're the only ones in existence. I've got two more being made right now, but it's one of those things where I love it. And when I first played it on stage, 70% of the people said they loved it. 30% said they hated it. And, it's the same thing at PRS guitars where, you know, it would be great to release that guitar as another signature model. But I think, PRS is such a classy kind of classic style kind of guitar. They don't do, you know, Ibanez Warlocks or anything. You know, they don't do that. They don't do that kind of thing. So that model's a little bit outside the box for them. So it might just stay, just something that they make for me custom that doesn't go on sale, but who knows?
So is that a main guitar for you live?
Yeah, it's one of my favorite guitars ever. You know, I called Paul up and I asked him if, I had an idea for a guitar. He said, you know what, if you fly up here and we get on the board and we draw it up together, I'll make it for you. So I flew up there and we sketched out kind of an outline, and you know, I'd say, what if this line did that? And he's like, here, here's the dry erase marker. Do what you want to do. And so I got to draw that guitar with Paul. And then he had this wizard of a technical guy come in, looked at the drawing, ran into another room for 20 minutes and came back with a 3D rendering, like on a rotisserie kind of thing. You could spin it around, look at every angle. So it was a pretty amazing process.
And what kind of pickups do you use on that?
It's just my I have a signature pickup with Parrot Smith. It's probably the tightest wound pick humbucker they've got.
Okay. That's awesome. I have my guitar player, Rashid. Remember Rashid?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's hey, right what's here. Up, buddy? It's Rashid. What's How up, you doing?
Bro? How you doing?
I'm good. I'm very good.
Yeah, bro.
Just wanted to jump on and say hello to you because you were talking to the boys, so I figured I'd say what's up.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah, man. Well, I wish we were on the road together hanging out.
Yeah, I know, man. But, you know, we'll get back to it eventually.
Yeah. Speaking of the road, every time you wear that Knob Point t-shirt, I get messages up the ass and text messages and all
crazy amount.
A crazy amount. So thank you, by the way.
Thank you so much for wearing it.
Oh, you're welcome. I've worn that shirt more than any other band shirt, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's why I gave you five in Chicago, so you don't have those little stains on the little stains that come up that you can get rid of.
Oh yeah. Well, I appreciate it.
But Dev, dude, thank you. You know, I'm gonna keep this short with you. Thank you for talking with us.
I'm gonna let you
do your thing. I know you gotta do some vocals today, right?
Yeah, going at 3:30, knock some vocals out.
All right, brother. Well, you have a good one. Send my love to all the boys and good luck and hope to see you soon, man.
Do the same. Thanks, brother.
All right, take care.
See you guys.
Yep. All right. Nice little short conversation with Mr. Tremonti. Got to hear about his guitar called the Abomination.
Yeah, different.
And what was the other guitar called? Stella?
Stella.
Stella and the Abomination. It's like a Explorer style guitar, but made by PRS. I'd never seen anything like it until I saw him play it on tour with us. And I don't think, as he said, I think they're probably going to keep that model basically just for him. He doesn't know if they're going to put it up for sale, but it's a killer looking guitar. Very unique. And it's cool that he got to fly up there with Paul, to where Paul Reed is. And he got to design it with him, got to draw it with him. So that's pretty cool.
So it is one of the more unique things then, because nobody else has it.
Yeah, he definitely did the whole design on it. So that's pretty killer. But anyway, thank you for listening. If you have any suggestions, you can email us at robcastpodcast@gmail.com. We are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Everywhere.
So we'll see you next time.
Yes. Bye. Say bye, Sheed.
Bye-bye.
We want to thank all of you for listening to the Robcast Podcast. Be sure and subscribe to get notified on all future episodes. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Robcast Podcast. And feel free to send us any comments, suggestions, guest ideas, topics, whatever. That is robcastpodcast@gmail.com. Enjoy your day.